I really do love that intro.
I do too.
I don't often pat myself on the back, but I think I did a good job with that.
You always pat yourself on the back.
Shh, don't tell our listeners that.
They know that. You went, who the hell is sitting in with John this week?
Well, that's true. Most of them do know me outside of the podcast, so they know that I have a massive ego.
We are so lucky that you have a wide angle lens to get your big noggin in the screen.
Well, it's either that or my big nose, one or the other.
You have a cute button nose.
And it's getting bigger, but that happens when you age.
There was a guy in my hometown that, let's say, he'd enjoy an occasional cocktail.
Yeah, one of those noses.
But it was like bulbous. And I'm serious. It was just, it had like stuff growing on it. And you see him, and, hey. You sound just like you have a nose like that. And yeah, I won't mention his name, but anybody that has been in Monticello knows probably who I'm talking about, because you can't hide that.
You can't hide that at all. Nope.
But it's an age thing too. It's not just an alcohol thing, although I'm sure that's part of it.
I'm sure it is a little bit, but it always makes me nervous because I've known people that have those, and I'm like, I just don't want that. I don't know what to do to avoid that besides not drinking. I mean, that's probably a good first step.
Well, that's never going to happen.
Right? Shit.
Be real.
Sorry, Mom. Yeah. So before we got on the podcast, two things. One, before we actually go back to that, because one thing you said is Monticello, and I'm sure you're talking about Monticello, Wisconsin, right?
Wisco. Yes, sir.
There's a Monticello in Minnesota as well.
There's a Monticello everywhere.
There's a Monticello everywhere.
Indiana,
you know,
Iowa. Yep.
In some places, it's Monticello. In some places, it's Monticello.
Monticello, correct. Yeah.
There's even one here in Tennessee. Anyway, and that one's pronounced Monticello, I believe. I just find it interesting that they have very similar. There's a Princeton in almost every state, too. And I find that interesting. I don't know why. It's just one of those things. Anyway, back to the conversation we were having earlier. Yes. John and I were actually discussing money. Now, we weren't talking about money in the standard sense. I guess we were and we weren't. We're not.
Well, yes and no.
We're not talking necessarily about dollars and cents issues, but we were talking about billionaires, and we were talking about getting billionaires to spend money. My statement to John was, well, there's a reason they're billionaires, because they have a tough time spending money. And that led me into the conversation, or the part of the conversation where I said, you know, right now I'm looking at, we're working on my wife's business, trying to make sure that survives at least through the summer. I think once we make it through the summer, I honestly think we'll be fine. But we're trying to figure out how to do that. And we're trying to figure out finances in general, especially with inflation and everything that's been going on. But there are instances, and John can relate to this because, John, as you had stated, you're basically living off your savings right now.
I'm retired.
You're retired. Yes, that's a good way of saying it.
But don't really want to be.
Right. Yeah, you've got bored with it, so it's time to get another job. Mm. Anyway. So we look at that, and there's those instances where, and this is the example I used, we know, and I want to talk about the trip a little bit more, but you know, I'm going on my very first solo camping trip very, very soon. And I'm honestly very nervous about it, because while I have camped a lot through my life, I've usually been with people, and I've usually been semi close to home, but I am going a long way away. I'm going to Colorado. So I'm buying gear that I don't normally require when we're doing close to home or even family camping, and things that I look at and go, do I really need it? and so we're talking about spending money that technically you might have, but you don't, you always say you don't have, right? And that's where I am right now, because it's not like I look at stuff. And when we're low on, let's just call it low on funds or money that you don't have, I'll look at things and go, say,
we're not billionaires.
We're not billionaires. Exactly. I look at something and say, I don't need that, or I don't need that right now. And I won't buy it. I might want it, but I won't buy it. And right now I'm in such a gray area, because there are certain things. I bought a lot of camping gear recently that I would need for this trip. And there are a couple things that I'm like, do I need it? Probably not. Should I have it? Probably.
Okay, but wait, let's put some teeth in it.
Absolutely. Literally. Well, literally, yeah.
Because the first thing you said was bear spray.
It's bear spray.
And if you're camping, do I need it? Well, if you get attacked by a bear, the answer is...
Yeah, probably, yes.
Yeah.
But then there's that likelihood of being attacked by a bear is very slim. It is.
That's what people who get attacked by bears say before.
Very, very bears. Well, there's the billionaire thing. You know, it's a hundred dollar pair of pants, and come on, there's a story behind that we won't share on this, but anyway,
but we could,
I guess. But anyway, that's where bear spray is one of them. You know, do I really need it? Probably not. I'm not going crazy into the backwoods. I'm not going to Yellowstone or anything like that. I'm still going to be around towns. I'm not going that far. I'm not doing true overlanding stuff. Do I need it? Should I get it? Probably. Yeah. So that's, I'm in that situation right now.
Let me just try and put it into perspective if I can. What it says is this. Look, when I'm doing the podcast all alone after you get eaten by a bear, we're going to say, remember we had that talk? Yeah, Nick, do I need it? We know the answer now.
Yeah, we know the answer. At least
rest in peace, Nick.
Yeah. Rest in pieces.
Rest in pieces. Nicely done.
I will say the bear spray is a little extreme. I am going to buy the bear spray, everyone, so don't worry about that. But there are other things, like, for example, do you need a bear vault? Bear vault is probably a better... Do I really need it? No, because I'm carrying...
You're gonna sleep in it.
Well, I'm going to be carrying a cooler. It's going to be in the car. It's going to be a locking cooler. So do I need it? Probably not. Should I have it? Probably. So there are a lot of different things. There are a lot of different ways to look at it. And maybe even that one's a little bit more extreme than something like the propane logs, the propane gas fireplace. Sure. Do I need it? No. Should I have it? Probably, because I don't know. Sometimes they have fire bans, sometimes they don't. And it's not warm in the summer where I'm going. So not cold, but not terribly warm. Oh. I don't know. I thought it was an interesting conversation. Because there are things like that where you don't need it, but maybe you should have it. Maybe you could wait.
You don't need it until you do.
Exactly.
That's the trouble.
Yeah.
Now, when it's something, do I need an elephant gun? No. But should I have one if I get attacked by a grizzly? Yeah, you probably should have one. So, it's tough to know with certain things. When it comes to safety, I'm a little more careful about stuff like that, because you can always say, well, I didn't need it. Thank goodness. So thank goodness I had it, because then I knew I wouldn't need it.
I think here's one of the biggest problems I have with it is... Yep. Bear spray is just literally pepper spray. It's just in a bigger canister.
That's correct. But it has a longer throw.
Right, yeah. Exactly. But it's not cheap. Pepper spray is not necessarily cheap, but it's not that expensive.
Yeah.
Because they know, well, the bear canister. The bear is probably a better example. It's just one big plastic tube that's sealable at the top. It looks like, you know, those big peanut butter filled pretzels that you can get at like a Costco or a Sam's Club. They're that big canister. That's what it looks like.
Okay.
But it's bear proof. So maybe the plastic's a little bit harder. I don't know. I've never had one. Mm. But I look at that and you can buy one of those canisters with pretzels in it for what, $20? And that's got food in it that you can empty and eat.
It already has pretzels in it.
The bear canister is $100. For that plastic tube.
With no pretzels.
With no pretzels. With nothing in it. I mean, you put stuff in it, but you keep it away from it. I know. So I think that's my problem is maybe it's not should I get it or not. It's do I really want to spend that much money on it?
You could buy a bunch of jalapenos, and if you could get the bear to eat them, it would probably cause him to go away.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you want to get that close.
I don't. I really don't. And well, and so here's the other side of it. Here's another thing. Jen and I have been talking let's use the fireplace as an example. That's something that's been on my wish list for a long time. And it's really, it's a cool little propane fireplace. It looks like a, ammunition, a military ammunition box.
Can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the shape and the size. It's a little bit okay. bigger than that, but it's about that. It retails for $199. Ooh. It has on Amazon, you can pick it up for $149. So it's been in the wish list, you know, when I can afford it, not necessarily something that's, and that's excluding the can, that's excluding everything. That's just the pit itself.
Sure.
So I get an email from REI for the 4th of July, and it's on sale for $99. That's I've looked at this for a long time. That's the lowest I've ever seen it.
Sure.
And, you know, my brain's going, and Jen's brain's the same way, because of obviously something like that, I check with her. I'm like, what do you think? What should we do? And she's like, if it's the lowest you've ever seen it, go ahead and buy it. And that's, so I kind of think that way, but at the same time, it's okay, if it's gotten this low, is it going to get this low again when I can actually, again, using the quotes in the air, afford it?
Sure.
I don't know. And I don't, yeah. I don't know in those situations. And again, this is why I'm not a billionaire.
So I'm sure it's the only thing preventing that from happening.
Probably.
Because I know you've spent at least $1 billion at Amazon.
It's getting close.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeff Bezos keeps calling
almost,
you.
I'm almost.
God, I could use some cash.
Exactly. I'm single-handedly supporting Jeff Bezos right now.
I'm sure you are. You know, some of these things are, you know, what do you wait for? And is it something that's going to make it more interesting or more fun? Or it's not like you're going to get it and just, you're unusual in that sense.
Well, I'm unusual in a lot of senses.
Yeah. But a lot of people will buy things and never use them. And they go, oh yeah, won't this be cool? And then they just sit. And I'm one that has done that in the past. You will use this stuff because it's camping oriented.
Yeah.
You actually camp, and you're utilitarian like that. You're not going to just take it, put it in a box, and never use it.
Yes and no. I can say that I have purchased some camping things that have not gotten out of the box yet. Like, well, they have gotten out because I always put it up and make sure. But, you know, like we just bought a 6-person tent.
Okay.
That's not coming with us on this trip. We bought that one for Christmas, thinking we're going to camp a lot this year, and we haven't gone out yet because that would give us enough room to put up cots. And as I said it to Jen when we were discussing which tent we were going to bring, because we like our 4-person tent, but you have to sleep on the ground, which there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, so I said the 6-person tent is one of those tents that you buy, that you put up and you keep up for a couple of days at least. Mm-hmm. Not for one of these where you're driving to a place, putting up a tent, sleeping, pulling it down, getting in the car and going again, which is what this trip is about. It's a road trip mainly. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's still sitting in its case. So it happens.
Help me understand. The 4-person tent, you can't sleep on a cot?
One person can, but you can't put 3 cots in it.
Oh, because it's small?
Yeah, you can't even put
low ceiling.
No, I guess, but we couldn't even. We did once get 2 cots in there, but they were right next to each other, and there was no room around the perimeter.
So how is it a 4-person tent?
Okay, well, this is a rule of thumb, and you can most people that camp a lot will tell you this. If you buy a 4-person tent, that usually means it's a good 2-person tent, maybe 3, two adults and a kid. You buy a 6-person tent, it's good for 3 people. Maybe 4 people, depending on, again, how you have everything set up. Yeah, the tents are, if you want 4 people, that's 4 people laying right next to each other without any room on any side. That's how they talk about size.
You know what that's like is buying a 1/2 gallon of ice cream and 1 serving is a 1/2 cup.
Yeah, exactly.
And you see all the calories and everything for 1/2 cup. And hey, this isn't that bad. It's 1/2 cup.
Yeah.
Who the hell only eats 1/2 cup of ice cream?
I did that with a Haagen-Dazs thing the other day. I bought it thinking, oh, this will be nice. And then I looked at it and it said, oh, 300 calories per serving. That's not too bad. Oh, there's 3.5 servings in this tiny little thing. Yeah. I was like, that ain't cool.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
I hate that. That's
I think it was 990 calories in a thing that was half the size of this.
If you eat the whole thing.
If you eat the whole thing.
Which you're gonna.
Of course I did. I even said I'll eat a quarter or I'll eat a third of it because that was actually the serving size. I'll eat a third of it now and I'll eat a third of it for breakfast. And no, I ate the whole thing that night.
I'll eat a third of it now and then I'll eat a third of it
in about 20 minutes and then a third of it and, you know, another 20 minutes after that.
As soon as I need to change spoons.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, well, there's one spoon that got me in trouble. Yes.
Yeah. So
that's how it feels is when you, with the 10th like that. What you're saying is without a cot, you can sleep on a pad. You're still going to have a pad.
Oh yeah.
I cannot sleep on the ground anymore, pad or not. I could probably do it with a cot, but, I'm class A RV these days.
Yeah. I understand that.
The diesel pusher and
the tag axle. So this part of this trip, one is it's a bucket list item for me. You know that. I don't even know if we've talked about that necessarily on the podcast, but I think people can suss that out for me. It's also for me, cause I'm the way it's going and forgive me listeners, if I did explain this already and I'm going back, I have explained this to a lot of people lately cause I am honestly very excited about it.
Yes, you are.
So
we know that
what's going to happen is I am leaving Nashville on either a Friday afternoon or a Saturday morning early, and I am driving from Nashville and I'm stopped somewhere on the way, depending again, how many times I stop depends on when I leave, but I'm stopping halfway or a little bit more, and then I'm driving into the mountains around Breckenridge, Colorado.
I'm psyched to hear about that because I love that whole area.
I have never camped in Colorado. I have camped other places. I have never camped in Colorado, and the fact that I'm doing it by myself, those are the parts that really make me nervous, and everyone says you shouldn't do that. So, you know, what the hell? I have tried to get people to come with me, and no one will. I haven't asked you.
Didn't ask me.
I know. I knew that was coming, but you don't sleep on the ground. So
damn right. I don't.
And this is a ground sleeping. Well, technically, because by myself, I also bought a hammock, a tent hammock. So I can sleep in the hammock,
which are kind of cool.
They are kind of cool.
Who's the guy I've told you about? Steve Wallace, YouTube channel. He does the stealth camp. He's hilarious. Yeah. But he has one of those. And he said the only downside is you got to have trees,
right?
You know, spaced exactly right. Even though, you know, he can stretch probably 5 or 6 feet, one way or the other. But it's a really cool setup.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to actually set it up this weekend so I can make sure everything is because I just bought it, so I haven't set it up. And you should do this no matter where you're camping, but I also like to set everything up to make sure it works. I set up the porta potty the other day, and it works very well. Nice. But yeah, so I'm nervous about doing it. I'm going to be, but it's only for one night in the woods. Then there's a conference that I'm going to, which is why I'm going out to Breckenridge. So we have a week long conference. Then Jen and Peyton are flying out to Colorado, and I'm picking them up, and we're driving to my dad's. Well, my dad is on the other side between Denver and my dad on the other side of Mount Rushmore. Mm-hmm. So we are going to drive halfway to the Black Hills. We're going to camp one night there. We're going to see Mount Rushmore because I've never seen Mount Rushmore.
You know, we saw it during COVID and I'm sure we talked about it.
Yeah, we did.
But Lisa and I drove and long drive, but I was so glad we did it because it's really impressive.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, you're going to love it.
Jen and Peyton aren't necessarily looking forward to the camping part.
Oh, well.
And I'm getting to my point here. So then after that, we're driving up to my dad's and we're staying in my dad's RV. So we're not even staying at his house. Well, I mean, it's at his house. It's his lawn ornament, but we're going to be staying in the RV, which Jen is really excited about because she's never stayed in a camper before. So all that to say, part of the reason is if I can get myself getting out of my comfort zone and actually camping by myself, I will start taking the dogs and doing it myself because part of the reason I don't camp as much as I would like to is because I can't get the girls to go with me all the time. I can always get Clyde to go with me.
Yes.
So So I'll do that. But the other part of that is I want the girls to actually experience camping like that to see if they like it, because the next progression will be, I won't make you guys camp like this every single time, but what we will do is get, we talked about this on the last episode or maybe the episode before that, we'll get something like a cricket.
Yeah.
And that way we have a camper.
A potty pod.
We'll have a camper, but it's still, you know, it bridges the gap between camping like this and camping like what Jen is going to experience in my dad's RV. So it's, you know, best of both worlds. So we'll see if she likes it.
What does dad have for an RV?
It's not really an RV, I guess. It's a fifth wheel.
It's an RV.
Not a fifth. What is it that it's gooseneck. It's got a gooseneck. So he has a 1-ton truck that I don't remember. I mean, it's just a very large.
It's a gooseneck?
It's a gooseneck. It's massive. It's a
fifth wheel because they're different.
It's gooseneck. It has gooseneck.
Gooseneck is like horse trailers.
Awesome. Yes.
We'll have goosenecks.
It looks like a horse. Well, it doesn't look like a horse trailer. It looks like a massive camper, but it's a gooseneck.
Just stand there and hang your head over the rail.
So my dad has horses. So I asked him, I said, why did you get one of those instead of a horse trailer with the camper on the front of it? And he said, when I go, I never take the horses with me. So why would I do that? Why don't you take the horses with you? That just sounds like fun.
So it's interesting you say that, because I actually did some sales training work for a company called Kiefer Built, K-I-E-F-E-R.
I'm familiar.
And they are do some quality work with horse trailers. They mm-hmm. do the living quarters, they call them, along with horse trailers. And so it can be a four horse trailer, mm-hmm. and then it has a massive living quarters.
Yeah, and they're usually
front.
Gorgeous.
Oh my gosh, some of the stuff is just amazing, and a lot of people do all the shows and the whole circuit with that. And those, I thought they were fifth wheels, but maybe it's
I think I keep wanting to say fifth wheel, but I don't know the actual terminology. Anyway, one of you folks knows the actual terminology for something like that, please let us know.
Well, no, it could be either one. Stalled. It can be either one. It's an RV without the horse part is typically a fifth wheel.
So what's the difference? What's the difference between a camper?
The gooseneck looks like a gooseneck.
No. What's the difference between an RV and a camper?
Well, a camper is a tow behind.
Well, wouldn't this be a tow behind because it's a gooseneck?
It's a different. It's a low tow. It's a bumper pull. Typically, is what travel trailers are.
Right, but an RV is something with a motor.
No, that's not true.
Okay,
an RV is anything that you can take recreationally. So it can be so if you go to RVTrader.com, for example, they will show class A, B, C, and then they'll show travel trailers, toy haulers, fifth wheels. Those are all under the RV category.
I'm looking it up right now.
Yes.
So it is a fifth wheel because the very first thing that came up was a picture of one like his.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those his
are,
is a
and fifth. That's typically what they are if it's a trailer of some sort that does not have. See, with horses, though, oftentimes you get and the gooseneck really does look like kind of a gooseneck, and it goes. It's a different type of hitch inside the inside the bed, which is the same as what a fifth wheel is. That hooks in the same similar configuration,
which is why he did, because he also pulls his horse trailer, which is a gooseneck. He's always had a gooseneck horse trailer, but this camper is so big he had to buy a 1-ton truck to pull it.
So it's gotta be, I mean,
it's massive.
I've seen people and know people that drive semis, semi tractors to pull their fifth wheels.
Yeah.
And so this is, you know, a 43-foot fifth wheel with the triple axle in the back.
I don't think it's that big, but
it could be. They're massive.
Yeah.
And a lot of people try to pull them with a dually, and man, those things go just shy of 20,000 pounds sometimes.
Holy crap. Yeah, this thing is supposedly pretty massive. But
that's going to be great. She's going to love that.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be really nice. I think she'll enjoy that. But then
high ceiling. Yep, and yeah, they're yep. really, Very nice.
Yeah, you know, lazy boy, fireplace, full kitchen, you know. She's going to be in a, she's going to go, why can't we have one of these?
Glamping.
Glamping. I took Peyton with me to look at the Cricket, and she was impressed by it. She likes it. But then she wanted to go see the other campers. So we went in some of these, and she's like, Daddy, why can't we get one of these? I mean, look, it's got a bunk bed. It's got a kitchen. It's got two bathrooms. I'm like, well, first of all, the Jeep can't pull that. Second of all, I can't afford that. Third of all, it's not the kind of camping Daddy wants to do. Now, if we move out of our house, maybe we can live in this for the rest of our lives. But no.
Yes. Going to Bureau of Land Management areas all over the country.
Exactly. So I'm sorry for those of you who think that's camping. No, that's just taking your house with you. Camping to me,
that's a fair point.
Camping to me is going up on going into the Bureau of Land Management, going into Forest Service land, and finding a spot off in the middle of nowhere, no power, no bathroom, no nothing, and just disconnecting. That to me is camping.
You can do that with those, by the way, and
you can
stay longer.
You can, yes.
They often have, you know, 80 gallon. Well,
you can, yeah, and 80 you can't. Gallon
black tanks.
You can't tanks. Really pull those off of a trail where you that's it's required true. To that's have four wheel drive.
That is a good point.
You know, you're not going to ford rivers with that.
You don't want to. No, not unless it's an emergency.
Right. Right. Yeah, I want to do stuff like that.
And I agree with you. I think there is quite a distinction there. And when you're talking about, you know, BLM lands, that's those are, there are some rugged ones.
There are some.
And some are, I mean, one of the groups, families, I guess I follow, Less Junk, More Journey, I think is what they're called. Mm-hmm. They did a trip to Denali in Alaska. And oh my gosh, it was beautiful. But some of the roads they were on were a little dicey. And
you're
right. Well, you got to have something that is able to handle that.
Did we talk about the epic family road trip on the last episode?
I don't think so.
So there's a family. It's two boys, a girl, and then the parents. They have two Jeeps. They're from Canada. They actually own an island in Canada.
Oh, wow.
With a cabin on it. And that's where they are right now. So the videos are all about their because they haven't been there for 2 years. They've been driving around all of Canada, all of the U.S., and all of Central America.
Wow.
In the Jeeps. And that's how they do it. They go off-road. They camp off in the dispersed camping areas and stuff like that. It's really a lot of it. It's really interesting. It's really fun. Mm. He's cool. A motivational speaker. That's what his quote unquote day job is. Mm-hmm. But they've actually taken the Jeeps to New Zealand. So they packed them up and shipped them over to New Zealand and drove around New Zealand for a while.
Wow.
They've done some pretty epic family road trips. But yeah, I recommend that one. It's interesting.
Cool.
But of course I love it because they're driving Jeeps.
Of course.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Of course you do. Canadians and Jeeps.
Canadians and Jeeps. It's almost like a Minnesotan in a Jeep.
Well, and that's Steve Wallace too. Is a Canadian.
These guys actually have dual citizenship because they spend so much time in the States.
Well, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
I suppose. Wow. And doing Central America too.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, that is, I mean, I don't know if we're going to have to rent an RV or something because I'm convinced that it would be kind of fun to do, and Lisa's not really having it. And so I can probably talk her into a long weekend or something like that, but renting one rather than, hey, let's buy and jump in with both feet, which some people do.
Some people do, and that's... And
sometimes it's awesome, and other times... That's a massive.
It is. And that's what I want to be careful of because we've gotten close. We've gotten close to buying one.
Sure.
And I have a feeling that if I don't get them to experience, like I said, this type of camping, they're not going to enjoy that type of camping because that's just going to be nicer. It's going to be taking this and going, oh, wow, this is so much nicer. I can really, and if they don't like this type of camping, they're not going to like that type of camping because that's still. True. Still the same. It's similar. True. It's a little bit less rugged, but similar.
Yeah, so much of it is. You're right. I mean, there are there. I guess if you have an unlimited budget, you're going to find campgrounds that you'll go to. But some of them at this time of the year.
Oh yeah.
Some of them, let's say Key West, for example, or in the Keys anywhere, they're run like $80 a night, and that's a good deal for a campground in that area.
Well, and however, there's still less, it's, probably too. Yeah, but it's still cheaper than a hotel room.
It's $500 a night for most of the hotel rooms that are, let's just say, mid stars in Key West in that area. It's wow. So yeah, you're absolutely right. It's just, if you are, as you said earlier, if you are looking to, hey, let's sell the house and let's go full time, you got to remember the expenditures every single night. And so a lot of people, instead of, you know, if they're from the north in the winter time, a lot of them these days are going to Texas, South Texas, rather than Florida or even Arizona. And they're finding places much more reasonable.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, even so, let's use Texas as the example, because I was just down in Corpus Christi recently. Corpus Christi, you can actually drive on the beach and you can bring your camper and park it on the beach. It's $12 a year. You get the pass so you can drive on the beach. You can park there and you can stay there for 7 days. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
That's, and then also BLM land and Forest Service land, you can stay there for free, most of them, for seven days.
But there's a limit on the amount of time. And the same is true for what's one of the 1,000 trails is one of the membership things.
Yep.
So there are a bunch of campgrounds all over the US and you know, if you play it right, and really it is, it's, you got to work the system.
Yeah.
You can do it pretty inexpensively, but it's just a lot of work. That's their job.
Yeah.
When they, decide to go that route.
Yeah.
Their
and
job
I don't,
is how do you figure out to make it work?
Now that part of it though, for me, I don't think I could ever do, don't even think I could do that. Definitely don't think my family could do that, is live full time doing that sort of thing. That's almost borderline not appealing. I mean, it is appealing because of the freedom that you have, but it's not appealing to going out for a couple of weeks, maybe even a month. I could probably do a whole month doing it and be perfectly happy, but I still want a home base.
Yeah. And I don't know. I would say I would probably agree with you, but I don't know. When Michael was a baby, my aunt and uncle had a place in Newport Richey, and it was a trailer.
Yeah.
And, they had a house up north, but in the winter they would come down. It was okay, but it's a double wide trailer.
Yeah.
And it had a built on patio off to the side, and that's it. And they were, this is great. And they got along with all the other geezers in the, in the park. And we play shuffleboard and we had a great time. But then tornadoes.
Yeah. Then tornadoes.
Oh, what do you do then? And if you can do that, you could probably make it work wherever, but it's really a different lifestyle.
And yeah.
What if the people next door, what if they're jerks?
And, right.
That's the part that, I don't know. I don't know how you deal with that.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely different scenarios that I think you could easily argue. I'm saying it from an unexperienced point of view. I could get out there and stay out there a month going, I could live like this. Who knows? Who knows?
And then the next place you pull into, you've got a Dirk next door who plays music until, 3 a.m.
Yeah. But the nice thing
hammered
is,
and swearing. And
the nice thing is the next day you can leave. That is the benefit. You can,
unless you've paid for a month in advance.
True.
At this park.
True. Very true.
But BLM land, you're right. You can just pick up and go, and that's great.
But working this, you're right about working the system. I mean, you can get for $90 a year, you can get a membership to Harvest Hosts.
Yep.
And granted, cool, you only stay one night, but why not?
And if you're not familiar with Harvest Hosts, listeners and viewers, it's like wineries. And
wineries, breweries, distilleries, breweries,
distilleries,
farms.
And farms. Yeah, exactly. And you can go and they just ask you to come in and shop and you don't have to buy anything, but it's a membership, but they will encourage you to come in and, buy a bottle and have some wine or whatever. But, I would definitely do that because if you don't mind not staying in one spot for 7 or 8 days, but if you're on the road to someplace, it seems like that is a smart way to go, because they're really all over the U.S.
There is. And honestly, if I wish, so they do have some requirements. I think we talked about this on the last episode. Mm-hmm. They do have, you have to have four solid sides on your vehicle.
Right.
So you can't, like, I can't go and stay there in the Jeep. I would have to have a pull behind camper with four solid walls. Sure. That doesn't mean it can't pop up above those four solid walls, but it has to have four solid walls and it has to be self-contained, meaning you have your own, you can't cook outside and you can't use the restroom outside.
Sure. So,
as long as you have those three things.
There are some rules, you know, that a lot of parks will not let you bring in a Class A motorhome, for example, if it's more than 10 years old.
Right. Yep.
And you know what? You can see there are, you can find some 10-year-old.
Some really nice ones.
Oh my gosh. Some high, well, I mean, without even going to a Prevo or some of the Prevo or some of the others like that. But some of them are, you know, $300,000 and they're over 10 years old.
Yeah.
Oh, not in our park. You can't go.
Yeah, I do think.
Well, I could bring the Winnebago in.
Yeah. I do think that there are some exceptions to that particular rule. I think what they're trying to do is keep schoolies out.
I would say that's probably accurate. But
even some of the schoolies now, though.
Is it not a rule? Some of the schoolies are nice, too.
Oh, I just saw one the other day and I was like, I would live in that. That's
so. Tell people what schoolies are.
A schoolie is a school bus that someone purchased and renovated to become a camper, basically.
Yeah,
yeah. And some of them are really shoddily done, and some of them are absolutely gorgeous.
I mean, they put a lot of time. It's not really half and half. I would guess it's probably 3/4 are kind of shoddy, and 1/4 are pretty amazing.
Yeah, but they're getting better at anything. I mean, there are businesses popping up now where they'll do it for you, and you can pick up a school bus for $2,000.
Yeah, I think YouTube has helped with that quite a bit.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's people see what others have been able to do. I'll tell you what, one that really impressed me, this was awesome. A guy bought an old FedEx truck.
Oh,
and so cool. You know the kind of truck, right? Yeah. It's the panel truck, and he kept it on the outside. I think it's... he kept like the F and an X or something like that. And that's it. But it looks, it's just painted white. It looks just like a nondescript. And you go inside. Whoa.
Really?
It is totally decked out. I mean, beautiful wood finishes and granite. And yeah, he's got everything. He's got the beautiful bed and a complete restroom and,
I found it.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Stealth Step Van Tour FedEx truck converted to.
And
he kept the X. So it says EX.
EX.
Okay, EX Ground. Yeah. All right. I'm going to watch that.
But yeah, make sure you check it out because it's.
It's got a couple of pictures. It's gorgeous.
It's pretty amazing. But I love the stealthy factor. It's like having a sleeper old car, you know?
Yeah.
And it comes up and just beats everybody off the line. I love that stuff. That's pretty amazing.
That's really cool. So now I know what I'm going to be doing this afternoon.
Buying a FedEx truck?
No. Oh, God, no. Probably.
I think you could. Yeah,
do
you
I
could
need get
that,
it?
And you could tow the Jeep.
Yeah. Do I need it? No. Should I have it?
Should I have it? John says yes.
Yeah. For safety, right? It's all for safety.
Yes. And Jen, I can deliver packages. I can deliver packages in my spare time.
Oh, my goodness.
I like it.
That's a great idea. So we've got to support our podcast habit somehow.
Absolutely. This is a terrible habit.
It really is. And speaking of our podcast habit, folks.
Yes.
You know, we still have some of those buy us a cup of coffee, Patreon, all those stuff, all those things up on our website. And John, where can we find the website? It's something.
Is woof, pottymouths.com.
And that's spelled?
PODDIMOUTHS.COM.
Period, COM. Period.
Dot. It's not dot. A period. It's a dot.
Is it, though?
Heaven's sake.
It's period
Where
on your
have you
keyboard.
Been? No, well, it's not. It's
not
all
enough.
Dot.
I mean, it's all dot.
And that's what I say at the end of a sentence. Dot.
So do you say... When you're saying a phone number, do you say like 8001 or 8001?
00.
00. Yeah.
Yeah. 001.
Speaking of, sorry. We were just wrapping up and I just thought of that meme that go. I sent you. That 007 meme that I sent you.
Yes.
Oh, can you tell people what that meme that I sent you?
No, you tell them.
Oh, no, you tell them.
I Stop it. I forgot.
I can look
it has
up,
a picture. But... It has a picture of Daniel Craig as James Bond. And it says 007. It's a sales meme. Zero calls made.
Oh, that's
zero
right.
deals closed. Seven tacos on the way from, what is it, Uber or Uber Eats or something like that?
That's right here. They call me 007. Zero calls made. Zero deals closed. Seven tacos on the way from DoorDash.
Wow. Yeah, here it is, and we can just.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I thought that was hilarious.
Sorry about the so black fitting. Finger, everybody. That's the my injury from last weekend.
He was injured bad.
So yeah. That was pretty funny.
Anyway, folks, head up to the website, comment, let us know what you think. Now we have the fifth wheel answer, but if you have any other answers, snarky comments, I'm really enjoying some of Bill's comments. They're not really snarky, but some of Bill's comments lately have been spot on.
Bill wants a little, he rolls with snarkiness.
He does roll effectively. Yeah, and I love it. I love it. Bring on the snark.
Punniness. He's very punny.
Very too. Punny. Very punny. Yeah. Speaking of, this episode is going to be launching on 4th of July, Independence Day. So as a closing note, John, I'm going to give you, I'm going to ask you a history question.
Oh boy.
What was the most popular dance? And I can already hear people, literally hear people that have already heard me ask this. Rolling their eyes. Sorry, Mr. Smolik. What was the most popular dance in America in 1776?
I'm actually going to call Matt Smolik right now just to
he's find on out the, what he's, the answer he's is. He's on the lake right now drinking coffee and walking.
God bless him.
I know.
The most popular dance in 1776. The waltz.
No, it was the Independence.
I dislike you.
And on that note, folks, you all have a great weekend. Happy 4th of July, and we will we'll see you very, very soon.
Happy Independence Day, everybody. Wow.